I'm joined by some special guests today. I've got Colin Letty across the console. Colin is our news director.
Good morning.
And good morning, Colin. We're going to be chatting with Julie Bauer. She is the executive director of Working Bridges. I first met Julie a number of years ago when she was doing a documentary that was shown at the Snake Alley Festival of Film. And I've known Terry for a number of years. She's one of the founders, members of the steering committee of the Friends of Cascade Bridge. And the idea is to try and find out what can, if anything, can be done to renovate or to at least move that off of square one and move and hopefully restore that bridge if it can be restored. But I've got Julie with me and Terry with me. First to Julie. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Steve. Yep, it was the first Snake Alley Festival of Film, and Terry sponsored us there.
Okay. And Terry, good morning to you today.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having us on this morning.
Friends of Cascade Bridge, when did you organize this? When did this happen?
And it was not originally my organization. It was put together by a citizen here in Burlington to feature some of the aspects of the bridge, but it really started way before my time with an organization that had already formed in Burlington named CRISP, and that stood for Concerned Residents Interested in Roads and Parks. That's what CRISP stood for, and it had been a group that had been around for a while. They invited me to join them right after the bridge closed 10 years ago. And at that time, we met with Julie, even way back then, and got together some money and paid her $500 as a deposit for future funds for us to be able to have Working Bridges come take a look at the Cascade Bridge. So it really started about 10 years ago. More recently, it's myself and Lisa Walsh. We agreed to co-chair a group to find out what we can to help support the city council to get that bridge open.
And again,
we want to go to Crapo Park. We want to be able to use that bridge. So that's where it all started.
All right. It is. The bridge has been, as I said, closed off to vehicular traffic. This past year, it was closed off to all walking and cycling and bicycling traffic, all non-motorized traffic as well. I think that that changed, I think it was an impetus to change a lot of people's attitudes about doing something or not doing something about that bridge. I think because as long as you could still go across the bridge and walk and ride your bike and have a non-motorized way into the park, it didn't seem quite as significant as having a chain link fence on both sides. Am I right, Terry?
That is right, Steve. However, I have to say for myself and the other families that are on the south side of Cascade Bridge, this has really been a deterrent for us for this entire time. All of the families that live on the south side of the bridge or anybody that's coming to that south side of the bridge have to go around the entire park. But more importantly than that, that bridge has been part of the Great River Road since it began, which starts up in Minnesota, and it ends in the Gulf of Mexico. And so here we are, Burlington, the historic town that we are, with a detour around our bridge, bypassing the Arboretum that was part of the Leopold family that started that. So really our concern has to do with more than just traversing the bridge to get to the other side. It has to do with the history of the entire community and maintaining that community.
All right, Julie, you've been to town. You've looked at that bridge. Obviously, you inspected it. You talked about it. It was one of the primary topics. I remember when you were on the stage and we were asking questions during the Q&A following your documentary. What's your feeling casual observation? You haven't done the detailed work, but as you look at that bridge right now and you look at that, what you know and what you think you might be able to do, what's your feeling on that bridge right now?
Well, my feeling is that all bridges can be restored. It's just a matter of the cost. The city has been saying for quite some time that one of the impetuses to this bridge restoration was lead paint. But I found out a long time ago that it was repainted in the 70s by Ziegler Industries, blasted of lead paint at that time. So that takes off one big concern when we look at historic bridges. The next one is that I couldn't quite figure it out early on in my career, but they welded every pin connection on that bridge and installed welded plates from the pins to the lateral connections and the floor beams and the diagonal connections. So everything was cut and then tied together. One of the historic engineers that looked at it in 1998 wanted to know what the modeling was if all of those connections were now fixed. And that has never been answered. And I've talked to our engineer, Jim Schiffer, about answering that question. In the three bridges, everything was cut and welded together.
Okay, so when was the last time? When was the last comprehensive engineering report or study of that bridge? When did that take place? How long has it been?
Well, I believe that somebody won a bid at the same time that we were trying to win a bid to come in and do that. And I'm not sure if they ever completed it, but they only did it with photographs. If they did a report, they only did it with photographs. So nobody has come in like us that take preservation to heart. And let me tell you what we've learned over the years is that the details are important. But really, it's not rocket science. The graded deck on this bridge was recommended to be removed in 1998, right?
Okay.
So that the salts and solvents would not keep continuing down into the structure.
But obviously, that did not happen. I'm going to guess that if that had happened in 1998, we might be talking a significant difference in terms of that structure and its ability to be restored. Am I correct?
I'm not sure about that either.
Okay.
I'm really not.
Until you have.
Because we need to take a look at it. I'm not sure that it wasn't closed in reaction to the Minneapolis bridge collapse in 2008 and that engineers really didn't trust bridges anymore. And at the time, it was heavily 80-20 on replacing bridges, so negligence was able to happen at the county levels in terms of getting funds. It was a whole lot of things going on back then.
We
actually look at it and run the numbers. What if it didn't need to be closed then? What if it just needed a few repairs?
I guess you can't tell until you actually do the numbers. And so when are you looking at? You're looking at, first off, Terry. You've got to raise the funds, is that right, to be able to do the engineering study, is that right?
We do. It's about $8,000. As I said, Chris had originally put in $500. I paid 50% up front so that we could get this going. We signed the contract. Lisa Walsh and myself signed the contract. I put 50% in the bank, and we started a GoFundMe account. We need $8,000. So if anybody is listening and they go to the Friends of Cascade Bridge, there's a GoFundMe link. Please make a contribution. What we want to find out, Steve, is whether or not this bridge can be rehabilitated and what the costs are. Because I can tell you firsthand, I've spoke to city council members, and that's not their intention. Their intention is to take this bridge off the historic register and to tear it down. I spoke to one city council member that told me he'd rather spend twice as much money and put up a concrete bridge that could last 100 years than looking at spending half that much money on repairing the bridge that we have in place.
Let's get a comment here.
I don't think a concrete bridge is going to last 100 years no matter what.
Colin Letty has got a comment, and he's got a question, I believe. Colin?
Yes, sure. Definitely. I've been at several city council meetings, and I've heard the Cascade Bridge issue go on and on as this saga continues. But you brought up a great point, and that is the factor of repair versus replace. And my question is, do you think with the option to repair Cascade Bridge, It's kind of a too little too late scenario.
No. I hope not. I really hope not on that. I think that that bridge has been there for over 100 years. We know initially that it was overbuilt. The structure was overbuilt. We've got more strength there than most bridges do. But also, let's just go back to something nobody's brought up yet, and that's the economic factor of Burlington. You know, ever since I've been in Burlington, the city council keeps crying, there's no money, there's no money. Well, every time the bridge, Cascade Bridge, gets looked over. They told us the bridge was going to be on the budget for 2024, and that's not true. It's not on the budget. It was just published.
What we do know
is on the budget is that an approval for $47,000, $48,000 to hire an organization to come in to get the bridge off the register. And the reason the city council wants the bridge off the register is so that they can tear it down. So what they're not telling us is actually being told by the budget. So, and Julie can speak to that a little bit, because we've already gotten a phone call from a consulting firm wanting to know if Julie knows if anybody wants the bridge, if they want to use the span of the bridge. So the city council is already thinking way ahead, along with this consulting firm, that they're going to take that off the National Historic Register of Places, of Historic Places, and they're going to tear it down. And we just want to put the brakes on that and say, let's take a look at it. What can we do? Can we preserve this bridge, especially in the state of affairs when it comes to this earth and the entire recycling? Let's see if we can't use this. That's what I want to find out. And if we cannot, then we'll make that decision. But in the meantime, nobody has really examined whether or not this bridge can be restored.
So how extensive will this engineering study be, Julie Bowers, in terms of finding out or answering some of these questions?
Well, as I was trying to get to, we've done a lot of these scope and estimates over the last 10 years, and we've kind of dialed it in to what these bridges need. So we know that the graded deck needs to come off and be replaced with engineered decking. We know a cost for that. We know that the floor beams are going to need work. We don't know what the engineer will say about the pin connections, whether we can restore those or whether they're fine or whether we need to think about some other type of newer span into those slots for the 90-footers. What I do believe is that there is no reason to give up the Main Street connection to Crapo Park. You have a perfectly fine 200-foot Baltimore truss there that did not see the extent of damage that the other ones on the ends did. And we can figure out something to carry 190 feet and 60 feet if the bridges there cannot be fixed. You know, SHPO in Iowa has given funds for recreating old truss bridges in northern Iowa. I think a Pratt truss was $1.8 million. We do not need to recreate bridges. We restore them using in-kind methods, hot riveting, heat straightening, pack rust removal. If we need to replace parts, we do it with similar in-kind material.
Well, this engine,
so that's yeah. what has never been looked at in terms of the cost. So when you say, is it an in-depth inspection, they're going to go in and look at all the crossbars. They're going to identify, okay, we've got 18 pin connections that need replaced. There will be a cost. We don't have to look at each one to know that that's going to have to be done if that's what the engineer says. So that's how we look at it from the original scope and estimate. Then we take a percentage of the steel and ironwork on that and create an engineering cost to go into the full engineering for a restored bridge. That means that you don't have to pay a ton of money for an engineering firm to come in and do a study that gives you engineers' estimates that are not current or accurate. They often have to go to other states in order to find similar projects. We know the cost of our labor. We know the cost of the engineering. And we know how to get the jobs done. If it's too expensive, then the decision can be made then. But people haven't spent a ton of money getting to being able to make that decision, and that's what Burlington has avoided for nearly 10 years with us. We were first approached by Alan Lukens at Klingner to provide this study.
And again, this is so when you have this study, that should it should answer the questions and should then be able, once you have that study done, to answer the question of cost, answer the question of stability, answer the question of the future of the bridge, answer the question of what can be done and what other options are there still available to preserve the bridge, or at least keep this span alive regardless of whatever it takes to make that span. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know what?
And then even more than that, what happens underneath? Because this is a contributing factor to Crapo Park and the Arboretum. And I'll go back even further than the Leopolds. It was Crapo hiring landscape engineers out of Ohio to design that park. So what if we were to create the annex to the Arboretum with new plantings under that bridge, which is really where the structure is and where the grand geometry happens? So I would suggest that the Greenbelt part of our name comes to the fore. I've contacted Morton Arboretum. There are great trees that could be planted in that ravine to complement everything there. And then looking at the economics of the Great River Road, you start to see the economic benefits of a historic bridge restoration, and it's huge. They have blown up bridges that had $3 million potential annually for both direct and indirect economic benefits to a community.
And the number one, and I think the number one issue here is that you're using private funding to determine, and you're not using city tax dollars, you're using private funding to determine what can and cannot be done with this bridge, and then you'll be presenting, I'm guessing, a report to the city council, whatever you find out. Is that right?
Terry will be. The friends will be. I'll be there to support them.
Okay.
And other options are, oftentimes we purchase these bridges in order to preserve them using a three-party contract that the city would take it back once it's finished.
All
if
right.
That's a better way to find the funds. You know, Steve Frevert runs a certified legal government type of corporation that could run the whole project and get the TAP funding that would leave the city out of it.
I'd like to thank Julie Bowers, and I'd like to thank Terry Arriato. And a final question of the day is, providing you get the funding, how long does a study like this, how long would you anticipate a study like this taking once you have funds in hand?
Julie. We're going to turn it around as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you both for being with me, and good luck, okay?
Thank you.